This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
There we go. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. This is Riyad Razazi. We're coming you to the Sira series, Walking with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or upon the footsteps of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Can you people type that you're, those of you on Facebook out there, those of you on Instagram, I can hear you. I can see your text. Those of you on Facebook, can you possibly just, I want to see if you guys can hear me. I don't know why I cannot hear those, I cannot read those on Facebook. Kayfa halukum, how you guys doing? How you brothers and sisters doing? I hope you guys doing all right. Brothers and sisters, those of you on Facebook, can you type so I can see that you're typing? I can see that you hear me, because I don't know why I cannot read people on Facebook. Can you guys type something? Let me type then. If you don't want to type, I'll type. Let me do this. There you are. So welcome brothers and sisters. I'm just going to give a minute or two for more people to join. This is our, it's not Sira. Those of you who just joined for the first time, it is not Sira. I've been always saying this is something different than just Sira. This is, you know, talking, you know, I call it walking with the Prophet. Walking with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is something that we have started a few months back. Something that, alhamdulillah, makes us, you know, get to know the Prophet Muhammad, Allah Azza, in a lot more. It gets us to wa alaikum salam, Rose Lily. All right, I can read them now. Wa alaikum salam. This is something that gets us to know the Prophet Muhammad, Azza salam. You know, living with him, Azza salam, going out with him. So we went to his home. We saw what he does in his home, Azza salam. We walked with him to the markets. We went with him to the masjid. We're living with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All right, wa alaikum salam. There you are. I can read you now. Wa alaikum salam. Facebook is kicking. Instagram is kicking. MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. You guys are doing great. Rose Lee Lee. Wa alaikum salam. Hafiz. Wa alaikum salam. Saidan Wahaman. Yasmin. Iman. All of you guys out there. Zoe Vabi. Wa alaikum salam. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. Welcome, my dear brothers and sisters. So, as I was saying, walking with the Prophet, upon the footsteps of the Prophet, it's a series unlike any series which I've ever done before. You know, we're not, again, just, you know, narrating stories from the Sira, but we're going beyond as we're learning and as we're living with the Prophet Muhammad, as if we are, in fact, seeing him. Going through his daily routine, alayhi salatu wassalam, right? So last week we spoke about his wedding with Aisha, if you remember. We were invited to the wedding of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the wedding of the Prophet and Aisha, his beloved wife, Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha. Brothers and sisters, if you remember, after Khadija, the Prophet Muhammad did not marry anyone, alayhi salatu wassalam. You know, years later, 2 or 3 years later, until he married, you know, Sauda. And the thing about Sauda, as I mentioned, she was like 80 years old woman. He just did that for the Hassan, you know, assisting her, you know, helping her at the same time, and to embrace that old lady who lost her husband. But Prophet Muhammad married from all his wives only one lady who was virgin. It was Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha. We spoke about that wedding. We spoke about, you know, when they consummated the marriage. You know, he asked, the khitbah happened when she was 7 years old. And he consummated the marriage when she was 9. We talked about that, you know, the beautiful very first evening, Prophet Muhammad and Aisha radiallahu anha. And we talked about the mahr that the Prophet gave Aisha radiallahu anha. We talked about so many things. Do you guys remember all this? Do you remember how much the dowry? What was the dowry that the Prophet gave to Aisha? How much was it? Do you guys remember this? I mentioned that last week because today we have another story with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. But who remembers how much Prophet Muhammad gave to Aisha as mahar? Do you remember when she was, when the Nisa from the Ansar, they came and then they were brushing her hair, preparing her for that beautiful evening? I know a lot of you do take notes. Those of you on Facebook, those of you on Instagram, I know that you take notes. But who remembers how much, I mentioned this last week, her mahar, the dowry that the Prophet gave to Aisha when he married her? Nobody remembers? You guys are checking your notes? Those of you on Facebook, don't you remember? And those of you on Instagram, don't you remember? How much he gave? 500 dirhams, mashallah, Zoe Babi, 500 dirhams, that's how much he gave her. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 500 dirhams was, you know, a substantial amount, in fact. But he did say, أَقَلُّهُنَّ مُهُورًا خَيْرَهُنَّ أَجْرًا أَوْ أَعْظَمُهُنَّ أَجْرًا أَوْ خَيْرَهُنَّ أَجْرًا أَوْ أَكْثَرَهُمُنَّ يَعْنِي بَرَكَةً. As alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, those who amongst them who have يعني low mahar are the ones who actually have يعني more barakah. But that does not mean that today يعني just want to, you know, like, you know, you just, it's just for nothing, you know. But I mean, their things have changed, and as long as now you find someone who's righteous and who has good akhlaq morals, and but still the mahar, you know, it is something that you don't want to cheapen, you know, not make it too ridiculously expensive, right? And not too yani something substantial, something that your husband or your potential, you know, future husband, inshallah, can afford. At any rate, so Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam married, and she died. I mean, Prophet Muhammad died when she was 18 years old. So she lived together, or they lived together for 9 years. Prophet Muhammad and Aisha, they lived together for 9 years, and she narrated lots of ahadith. She reported lots of ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. According to the ulama, Aisha, I think she is, in the terms of how many hadith she reported or she narrated, she is in the fourth category. You know, you have Abu Huraira was the first, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and then the fourth would be either Aisha or Abdullah ibn Abbas. Either Aisha or Abdullah ibn Abbas. But the first one who narrated the majority of the hadith of the Prophet is Abu Huraira. And then comes Abdullah ibn Umar, comes Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and then either Aisha or Abdullah ibn Abbas, who's number four in terms of narrating, you know, a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi as-salatu wassalam. Okay, brothers and sisters, and then we said this happened in the second year of the Hijrah, right? In the second year of the Hijrah, that's when Prophet Muhammad married Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha. Prophet Muhammad, as he migrated from Mecca to Medina, he migrated to Medina after he spent 13 years in Mecca, you know, struggling, sacrificing. He went through so much, persecution and abuse, alayhi salatu wasalam, the Sahaba likewise. So finally, Prophet Muhammad found, you know, those youngsters, those youth who came from Medina for Hajj. And then they offered the Rasulullah, alayhi salam, they offered, you know, to host him in Medina. And I mentioned this as how the following year they came, and there were 72 of them or 80 of them. They came and then they gave the oath of allegiance to the Prophet Muhammad, the bay'ah. And then Rasulullah, alayhi salam, you know, planned for the hijrah, planned for the migration from Mecca to Medina. Then what happened after that, brothers and sisters? Medina, as I mentioned, was a town that was made up of three segments of, you know, of people. You have the Aus, the Khazraj, and the Yahud. The Aus and Khazraj, those are what we call the Ansar. The Ansar, they came from two tribes, namely Al-Aus and then Al-Khazraj, who used to have this rivalry between them, you know, for years, animosity, fights, war between these two, for years, between these two tribes, which are called the Ansar today, right? At the time of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. So, and then you have the Yahud. So when the Prophet migrated, you know, he was working towards bringing unity amongst the Muslims, especially, right? Amongst the Muslims, the Aus and the Khazraj. So he came, alayhi salatu wasalam, the first thing he did after building the masjid was announcing that brotherhood, you know, where the Ansar will host and help the Muhajireen, calling for the unity. He gave that very first speech, alayhi salatu wasalam, and that very first speech was, Ayyuhan nas, afshu salam, wa at'imu at'am, wa sallu bil layli wa an-nas niyam, tadkhulu al-jannata bi salam. This is his first speech, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That first speech was, O you people, afshu salam, right? They needed peace. The people, like I said, I mentioned that there they used to live, you know, they had war for many years. So the first thing Prophet Muhammad, you know, spoke about was peace. O you people, afshu salam. Afshu salam. Spread peace upon one another. Wa at'imu at'am. And then once you spread peace, feed the poor and the needy. And help one another. Give sadaqah. Help each other. At'imu at'am. وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامُ. And pray at night while others are asleep. Well, how can you pray if your belly is hungry, right? Or if you're not safe? So the Prophet, you know, in that sequence, first he said, you know, أَفْشُوا السَّلَامُ, spread peace. I need to feel peaceful. I need to feel secure to be able to worship, to be able to pray, I need to feel secure, really, you know. So the Prophet says, أَفْشُوا السَّلَامُ. And then he says, you know, at'imu at'am, feed the poor. Okay, but I want to pray, but I'm so hungry. You know, I'm starving. I don't have money to buy food. I have no food. So the Prophet is saying to the people, and at'imu at'am, feed the poor and the needy. And then he says, then, sallu bil layli wa an-nas niyam, pray at night while others are asleep. Do qiyam al-layl. Pray while others are asleep. You shall enter Jannah bi salam. You shall enter Jannah in peace. This was his first speech, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then, brothers and sisters, he was working, you know, relentlessly to bring in this, this peace, setting rules and setting laws in Medina, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then something happened. Something really, 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 I guess, sad, bad happened. What happened? Let me first check on you before I start my story. Let me see how you guys are doing. All right. For brothers and sisters on Facebook, how are you today? Those of you on Instagram, how are you today? Are you guys doing okay? Are you staying safe? كيف حالكم? كيف حالكم أيها الأحبة? How's everybody doing? How's Hafiz? How's Rose, Lily? How's White? How's Khalid Tizani? How Aisha? How's Yashmin? How are you people doing? You guys are doing okay? Staying safe, inshallah, healthy. Everybody's fine. Everybody's okay. You know, not despairing. Alhamdulillah. Furqan Najmi. Wa alaikum salam. Alhamdulillah. You guys, you know, I hope you're not losing hope. You know, and you're not despairing from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zoe, you can eat until you feel safe. Yes, so I was saying, how are you doing? That's what I was saying. How are you doing? Yes, Yashmin, you doing okay? Alhamdulillah. Rose Lily, Alhamdulillah. Zakallah khair. Rose Lily, what a name. Amazing. Rose. Everybody, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Okay, I'm just double checking on you. That's all. I'm just checking to see what people are doing. Yani kida, heart to heart, you know, making sure you guys are doing okay. I cannot see you. You can, but I cannot see you. I cannot hear you, but I can feel you. I can feel you. Once you tell me you're doing okay, I'll feel you. All right? I'm not an empath or anything, but I can feel that you're doing okay, alhamdulillah. All right. Anyway, so brothers and sisters, what happened was, there was this Sahabi by the name of Rufa'a ibn al-Nu'man. So Rufa'a ibn al-Nu'man, mashallah, jazakum Allah khair. Rufa'a ibn al-Nu'man, brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah. Rufa'a ibn al-Nu'man, He went into a battle, you know, there was some battle that he participated at, and then he earned a shield. He won a shield from the battle, and whatever you earn from those battles become yours. So he got this shield, this armor, you know, he brought it back. And if that shield gets stolen, you know, to have a shield at the time, it is as if you have something really, really dear, very expensive. Not anybody can own a shield, right? So he won that shield, and then he brought it. But somebody stole it from him. Who stole it? Abu Rufa'a ibn Nu'man used to be from Al-Aws. He accused a man by the name of Bashir. He accused a man by the name of Bashir, who was from the Khazraj, the other tribe, the other, you know, Ansar tribe, these two main, you know, qabilas from Medina, right? He says, he's the man who stole my shield. So he went and he told Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, but all of a sudden what happened, the cousins of Bashir, Bashir cousins, couple of them, they went to the Prophet and he says, Ya Rasulullah, no, Bashir was not the one who stole the shield. The one who stole the shield is a Jew by the name of Zayd ibn Samin. Zayd, a Jew, he's the one who stole. He used to be a neighbor to Rufa'a. Rufa'a and that Jewish man, they used to be neighbors. There was only one wall between them. So what happened was the Prophet sent a man by the name of Muhammad ibn Salama. He sent Muhammad ibn Salama and he says, go to the house of Zayd, you know, the Jewish man, and check and see if the shield is there. So he went and he, you know, searched around, and then he went inside, you know, he went into the backyard. He had like a garden, small garden in the back, you know, and then he saw, you know, by a tree, there was he digged some hole because apparently there was some hole or whatnot. So he digged it, and then he found, lo and behold, he found the shield in there. So he pulled that shield, took it, and then took it to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasalam. Ya Rasulullah, indeed, yes, I found the shield in the house of Zayd ibn Samin, the Jewish man. Prophet Muhammad, he went, although he was really, really perturbed at the time, because this could have, you know, this could result in a huge war between the two tribes. A man from tribe A stealing a shield from a man from tribe B. And this is, you know, talking about Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj. So this could have been, you know, this could have triggered a big war between the two tribes. So the Prophet Muhammad was worried, you know. So once this man, you know, Muhammad ibn Salama came and told him, Ya Rasulullah, it actually the man who stole the shield is not Bashir. No, he knows this Jewish man, Zayd, the neighbor. So Prophet Muhammad felt relaxed. And then he gave a speech at night before people went to sleep. He brought everybody in the masjid, he gave a speech, and then he looked at Rufa'a and he says, how can you, O Rufa'a, how can you blame someone or accuse someone without having evidence? You didn't have evidence, you just said it was Bashir, you know, but you did not have any evidence, how can you accuse him? And Rufa'a, miskin, he couldn't say a word because indeed the shield was found in the house of Zayd. So this was, in a nutshell, what happened. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before Prophet Muhammad went to sleep, he sent Jibreel to tell about Prophet Muhammad about the real thief, the real person who stole the shield. It was not actually the Jewish man. No, it was indeed Bashir. He was indeed Bashir. So what happened, brothers and sisters? Bashir stole the shield. And then he realized that that Rufa'a saw him, and that Rufa'a was going to the Prophet to tell on him. So Bashir did steal the shield. He saw that Rufa'a saw him, right? He noticed that Rufa'a saw him, and that Rufa'a was going to the Prophet Muhammad to tell on Bashir. So what did Bashir do? He called his cousins. He called his cousin. He said, listen, I'm the one who stole the shield. I stole it. So what happened, happened. What happened? Happened. So we cannot, you know, I don't want you guys to go and tell Prophet Muhammad that I stole the shield. You know, it's the family, you know, look, our family, what would happen to us? What would happen to our name? What would happen to our honor? Let's just leave, you know, accuse that Jewish guy. Let's accuse him. Let's just, you know, leave it with the Jewish guy. One of the cousins says, well, no, I can't. I can't accept this. You're the one who stole. We've got to tell Prophet Muhammad. So they made him be quiet. He says, just be quiet. You don't talk. You don't say a thing. If you don't want to participate with us, don't, you know, keep quiet. because they went and then they are the ones who hid the shield in the house of Zayd ibn Samin. They are the ones who hid it there. So they said, if you don't want to play along with us, then just be quiet. So he chose to be quiet. And after they buried the shield in the house of the Jewish man, they went to the Prophet and they said, no, Ya Rasulullah, it was not our cousin. It was not our cousin who did it. It was the Jewish man who did it. And you can send someone to check his home. I'm sure, we're sure he has it in his home. So now, brothers and sisters, I want to ask a question. If it was you, right? If it was you who did it. No. It's not you who did it. If you were involved, and I asked you this question last week, and I said you have, let's say, option number one, your brother, he's the one who stole a phone or who stole money, right, or whatnot. So, but they accused somebody else, and the police came and they took that person, the accuser, right? They put him in jail because that man was accused of stealing money. But you know who stole the money. You know who stole the phone. You know who stole whatever, right? It is your brother who stole. So what would you do? Would you go and tell the police? Would you tell your parents, for instance? Would you keep quiet? What would you do? What would you do? Would you keep quiet? Would you tell your parents? Or would you go and tell the authorities? Because somebody went to jail who's innocent. Those of you on Facebook and those of you on Instagram. What would you do? And let me tell you this. The person who stole is your brother. So if you were to tell on your brother will go to jail. Just so you know. If you were to tell on your brother will go to jail, just so you know, okay? So I need you to tell me, what would you do? Tell me the truth. If your parent, you tell your parents, okay, so your parents, you tell your parents, and then, you know, you be quiet and say, okay, I told my parents, I'm out. But there's somebody who's in jail, and your parents, they chose not to do anything about it. There's somebody who's accused, who's in jail, who's innocent. Tell your parents, speak the truth, tell authorities, tell the parents at least, I don't care. Oh man, oh you don't care, you mean tell the authorities, I don't care. So you don't care if it's your brother, your cousin, your whatever, you know, even your son. Your son is the one who stole, and they will take your son to jail. I want you to feel this. I want you to know to feel this. Like, what would you do? You know who the thief is. You know who the person who stole. He is your brother. He is your son. But because they accuse somebody else, that other person is in jail now, who's innocent. So you would tell the truth to the authorities, aim thabit, feeling Allah Azza wa Jal, and your son will go to jail. Is that what you're telling me? Yashmin, is that what you're telling me? Furqan? It will be a hard decision, Furqan. Okay, of course it will be a hard decision. It is a hard decision. Somebody's in jail who's innocent. And if you are to tell the truth, they will take your son or your daughter and they will take them to jail. What would you do? What would you do? As difficult as it is, we have to tell the truth. Yes, me. Okay? I would tell the truth. Aim Thabit. Okay? Hafiz would tell the truth. Furqan is thinking about it. Okay? Anything else? Anybody else? Stick to the truth? All right. Well, the story, brothers and sisters, I will tell you what happened. But I'll tell you the essence of the story, because the story talks about, you know, justice. And what would the Prophet do, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The story, the essence of the story is about justice, is about al-adl. Is about al-adl. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet Muhammad, when he says about those seven categories of people who will be put under the shade of Allah, the day when there is no shade except the shade of Allah, amongst them are, or is Imam Adil a just Imam or a just ruler? And you could be a ruler, you could be an Imam in your home or at work because you have authority, right? So a just ruler who would be put under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the day when there is no shade except His shade. Allah will call somebody who's Adil and He will put them under His shade subhanahu wa ta'ala. إن الله يأمر بالعدل إن الله يأمر أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل. Allah Azza wa Jalla orders that you give back the amanat, the trust, back to their owners. And if you were to rule between people, to rule with justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about justice subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, what happened was, Jibreel came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before the Prophet went to sleep. Ya Rasulullah, the man who stole is actually Bashir, not the Jewish man. The Jewish man is innocent. The one who stole the shield, his name is Bashir. Prophet Muhammad, he heard the news directly from Jibreel. We accused someone who turned to be innocent. We accused someone, regardless of his faith, regardless of the faith, because he's Jewish man, right? But he's innocent. Jibreel came to tell Prophet Muhammad, before he goes to sleep, we need to settle the matter. We need to sort it out. We need to settle this. The one who stole is actually not the Jewish man. The one who stole is a Muslim. His name is Bashir. He is from the Khazraj. So something's got to be done right here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals ayat from the Quran. In Surah An-Nisa, verse number 105. Talking about, you know, clearing that man's name. Subhanallah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Inna anzalna ilayka al-kitaba bil-haqq. Inna anzalna ilayka al-kitaba bil-haqq litahkuma bayna an-nas. Litahkuma bayna an-nas bima araka Allah. Wa la takun lil-khainina khasima. We have revealed Al-Kitab, the book, yani the Quran, upon you. Why, Ya Rasulullah? Ilayka bil-haq, by the truth. So this Quran was revealed by al-haq, by the truth. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِتَحْكُمَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ, so that you can rule between people bil-haq, with justice. وَلَا تَكُنِ الْخَائِنِينَ خَصِيمًا, and don't follow the khainin, don't follow those who deceived you. Those two people from the Khazraj who deceived you. No, they deceived you. Don't follow them. Don't support them. They're wrong. وَلَا تَكُلِ الْخَائِنِينَ خَصِيمًا وَاسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ. Allah is telling Prophet Muhammad, وَاسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ. You ruled, Rasulullah. You ruled. You did not do your due diligence here. You had to, you know, inquire. Somebody came and told you, no, it is not him, it's the other, and then you just cleared his name. No, Ya Rasulullah. وَاسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Seek forgiveness from your Lord, and you shall find Him, the oft-forgiving, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تُجَادِلٍ عَنِ الَّذِينَ يَخْتَانُونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ خَوَّانًا أَثِيمًا. Allah loves not those who deceive, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah loves not those who deceive. Yani those people, even they are Muslims, but they deceived you. Allah loves not those who deceive. إن الله لا يحب من كان خوانا أثيما يستخفون من الناس. Listen to this beautiful ayah, my brothers and sisters. It applies to all of us. It applies to you. It applies to me. It applies to those who are on Instagram, on Facebook, whatever you are. Listen to this particular ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يستخفون من الناس ولا يستخفون من الله وهو معهم إذ يبيتون لا يرضى من القول وكان الله بما يعملون محيطا. They are hiding from people, but they are not hiding from Allah. They can't hide from Allah. They're hiding from people, but they cannot hide from Allah. They deceived you, but they cannot deceive Allah. They did not tell the truth. They went and then they digged a hole and then they hid the shield in the house of this Jewish man. Didn't they know that Allah is the all-watchful? يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ. How can you... You cannot run. I mean, you can, but you cannot hide. Isn't it? Aska, IA4, Ska, isn't it? Can you hide from Allah? Can you run? You run all you want, but you can't hide because Allah Azza wa Jalla is Al-Aleem, Al-Khabir, the all-knowing subhanahu wa ta'ala. The all-hearing subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're doing before you even do it. You can't hide from him. So Allah revealed that to the Prophet Muhammad to tell him the truth. There's some people who are hiding the truth, but they can't hide from Allah Azza wa Jalla. There will be, at some point, the truth will prevail. Always, the truth will always prevail. Those people will come out and they will be, of course, exposed. They will be exposed. Allah will expose them. If not in this dunya, they will be exposed in the akhirah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says in Hadith Qudusi, Ya ibadi, inni harramtu al-dhulma ala nafsi, wa ja'altuhu baynakum muharrama, fala tadhalamu. Oh my servants, I have prohibited oppression upon myself and I have prohibited amongst you, don't oppress one another. Brothers and sisters, do not oppress one another. Don't oppress yourself. Don't oppress your children. Don't oppress your spouse. Don't oppress your parents. Don't oppress your friends. Don't oppress your enemies. Don't oppress anyone. Don't commit dhulm. إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي Allah says, I have made dhulm prohibited upon myself and I have made it prohibited amongst you. Don't wrong one another. Don't do dhulm among one another. Yes, you can do dhulm to yourself too. There's some people who do wrong to themselves. They do dhulm towards themselves. They don't forgive themselves. They don't give themselves a break. You do dhulm to yourself by consuming something that is haram. This is dhulm to yourself. You don't pray. This is dhulm to yourself. Not to Allah, to yourself. And to Allah Azza wa Jal, because the salah is for you anyways. Those who don't worship Allah, they're doing dhulm to themselves and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you not worship Allah? The one who created you and created this universe. Dhulm. So Allah is saying, don't. I have made it prohibited upon me, and I have made it prohibited amongst you. Don't wrong one another. Don't do dhulm towards one another. If you have wronged anyone, please go today and ask that person to forgive you before tomorrow. Please. Because tomorrow may never come, by the way. Oh yes. Tomorrow may never come. You have a chance today to go and ask for forgiveness. And give them back what you have taken from them. If you have taken anything from them, go back and give it back. Otherwise, you will have to answer to them in the Day of Judgment. When the Prophet Muhammad asked the Sahaba, who is the bankrupt? They said, Ya Rasulullah, the bankrupt is the one who lost all his wealth. He says, no, that's not the bankrupt. The bankrupt is the one who came in the Day of Judgment with lots of good deeds. Lots of salah, lots of siyam and qiyam and Qur'an, hajj, umrah, lots of good deeds. But during his lifetime, he wronged this person, he accused this person, he backbited this person, he abused, he did this, this and that. And people will come on the Day of Judgment to take it's payback, to take their haqq. And how are they going to take that haqq? Hasanat sayyat. They will start taking from his good deeds. They will start taking from his good deeds. And he will run out of good deeds. Oh, and then people are still waiting for their huquq, their rights. And then they will dump on him their bad deeds. He will look and say, Allah, I did not do all this. I didn't do this. Yes, you didn't do that. But there are people waiting for the huquq, and you have no more hasanat to give them. So they will dump their bad deeds upon that person. and that person will be thrown in hellfire. The Prophet says, that's the bankrupt, the one who lost, not all his wealth, no, the one who lost all his hasanat, because he wronged people, because he did dhulm towards people. Don't do dhulm, sisters and brothers. Don't speak in the back of someone. Don't backbite someone. Don't backstab anyone. Don't give people hasanat that you worked so hard for. Please, I beg you. I beg you. You worked so hard for your hasanat, for you to give them to somebody else. Just like that. Just like that. You sacrificed, you struggled. You woke up, you prayed. Fajr. And you prayed other prayers that were pretty hard on you, and you did them. And you gave charity and that wasn't hard on you. So that you can give all this that you worked hard for to somebody else because you wronged them, because you backbite them, because you backstab them in the day of judgment, they will take your hasanat. They will take your good deeds. So Jibreel came to tell Prophet Muhammad about all this. He says, Ya Rasulullah, no. There's an innocent man who was accused. The Jewish man by the name of Zayd ibn Sammi. You have to clear his name. Before Fajr, the Prophet collected the Sahaba. And then he started, you know, reciting the ayat from Surah An-Nisa, verse number 105. Rufa'a, when he heard the ayat, because he was disappointed, he was sad, because Prophet Muhammad told him, how can you accuse your brother? He's innocent, how can you accuse him? So he thought he saw him. He thought he saw him. So he was so sad and disappointed. But when Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, revealed those ayat, then Rufa'a says, instead of crying, he says, oh, this is all because of my shield, Ya Rasulullah. I'm going to give this shield to fi sabilillah. I'm going to give it fi sabilillah, sadaqa fi sabilillah. I don't want it anymore. I don't want it, because they gave it back to him and he says, I don't want it. I want to give it sadaqa fi sabilillah. Allah has cleared my name. Allah has cleared my name. Yes, I saw the man steal it. It was Bashir. And Bashir was a new Muslim. Bashir was a new Muslim. So regardless whether a war will happen between the two tribes and Aus and Khazraj, but the truth has to come out. The truth has to come out. Brothers and sisters, you can relate to this. This is why I asked you, what would you do? If, excuse me, if your son was the one who stole, if your brother was the one who stole, if your daughter is the one who stole, what would you do? Would you tell on her? Or would you protect her? You may say, okay, no, I will not tell on her. I will just take whatever she stole and give it back. Okay, but there is a guy in jail because he was accused of stealing or killing. And he's innocent. He did not do anything. So you protected your daughter or your son. You gave back whatever they have stolen. But there is a guy in there whose name still needs to be cleared. What are you going to do about that guy? What are you going to do about that person? Oh, the family comes first. My honor comes first. But Allah is watching. Allah is watching. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to those brothers and sisters who said, I don't care if it's my brother or my son or my daughter. The Prophet Muhammad said, even if Fatima was to steal, I would cut off her hand. Fatima. Fatima, she is the most beloved daughter to the Prophet. If Fatima was to steal, I would cut off her hand. هذا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Has the Jewish man become Muslim? After he heard all this and whatnot, has he become a Muslim? No, he did not actually become a Muslim. The hadith don't mention that this man have become a Muslim. He has not become a Muslim. But the thing is, the essence again of the story is, somebody has committed dhulm and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to clear the name of the dha of the mazloom and to accuse the dhalim. Yes. So that's the essence is the truth has to come out regardless. He become a Muslim, not become a Muslim, that's not the point. He did not become a Muslim, but that's not the point. The point is, as you know, as I may say, the truth has to come out, and the truth came out. And Prophet Muhammad, this happened in the second year of the Hijrah. When the Prophet was preparing, you know, the Sahaba bringing them together and whatnot, came the story that almost shook Medina. Almost shook Medina, the same, that story. Al-Adl, brothers and sisters, justice. Are you just, sisters and brothers? Are you just in your rulings? When somebody comes to tell you from your friends and whatnot, to rule between, you know, your best friend and maybe your enemy, Who do you side with? Would you side with the one who's holding the truth, even if he's your enemy? Or would you side with your friend, even if he's wrong? Who would you side with? Would you always stick to the truth? Because if you're to stick to the truth, inshallah ta'ala, you will be resurrected upon the truth. This is how it works. Depending what you side with. And regardless of anything else, you always have to be just. Justice. Live with justice. Al-Adl. Al-Adl. Inna Allah ya'muru bil-Adl wal-Ihsan. Wa ita'i dhil-Qurba. Allah ordains Adl, justice, and Ihsan. We have to be just with one another. We cannot wrong one another. We cannot deceive one another. Lie to one another. Break each other's hearts and stuff and whatnot. No, brothers. It is not from the morals of Islam. The Sahaba then, after praying Fajr, went back to sleep. But the matter was resolved. The matter was resolved. What happened to Bashir, by the way? Bashir ran away. He ran away. He's a new Muslim. He ran away. But his cousins, they came to the Prophet Muhammad and then they asked for forgiveness and they made tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The cousins who defended him, they repented to Allah and asked for forgiveness. Yet Bashir, he ran to the enemies. Weaker iman. May Allah Azza wa Jalla help us to practice and to copy. Brothers and sisters, inshallah ta'ala, from tomorrow, there's no cliffhanger tonight. Lucky you, there's no cliffhanger tonight. Inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow we'll resume from where we left off when Prophet Muhammad came to Medina, you know, and establishing his constitution in Medina, inshallah ta'ala, setting the rules. What will happen? Something very, very, very interesting will happen. Coming all the way from Mecca, something great will change history at the time. What is it? No. We'll talk about that tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakum Allah khair, brothers and sisters, for joining. May Allah bless you. Thank you, Baizul Aziz. Thank you, Shazia. Thank you, Yasmin. Thank you, Nawab. Thank you, Hafiz. Those of you on Facebook, who's there? Thank you, Medina. Thank you, all of you on Facebook as well. Who's there on Facebook? Whoever is on Facebook, Furqan. Thank you, Furqan. Thank you, Yasmin. Thank you, Salam. Jazakum Allah khair. Thank you, Zoe. There's no cleavage, it's okay. Thank you, Zoe. I'm sorry, I'm nice today. It was a small cliffy, not a big one, it's a small cliffy. Thank you, Asra Qadri. Thank you for joining. May Allah bless you. Zakum Allah khair. Thank you for joining. Thank you, Rose. You're welcome. Thank you, Zakallah khair, for joining. May Allah bless you. Thank you, Zoe. Thank you as well. Those of you on Instagram, we see you tomorrow. Remember, see you tomorrow, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, please. 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, 11 o'clock p.m. UK time, inshallah. Thank you, Furqan, Najmi, Zakum Allah khair. Thank you for joining. May Allah bless you all. Barakallahu feekum. Stay safe. I have not sang for you in a long time, and I have not said any poems for a long time. Maybe I should prepare another poem, one of my old poems. Remember, in Ramadan, you guys remember, I was, you know, like almost every day, I was telling you poems and singing. Maybe, inshallah ta'ala, we'll sing for you soon. You know, I'll come up with something and sing it for you, and maybe a poem, inshallah ta'ala. Maybe this weekend we'll do something nice, inshallah. All right, brothers and sisters, Jazakum Allah khair, Barakallahu feekum. I'll see you tomorrow, inshallah. We enjoy it. Thank you, Sister Qadri, Barakallahu feekum. Thank you. Barakallahu feekum. We'll see you tomorrow. All right? Assalamu alaikum. We'll see you tomorrow, inshallah. Thank you, Saidan Wahman. Thank you, Saidan Wahman. Wa alaikum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. See you tomorrow, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.